Take out your Bibles and Ephesians, where we'll start, chapter 4. This morning, I just want to preach on this thought. It's right and wrong. Right and wrong. Who determines what's right and wrong? We have such an opinion-oriented society, don't we? I want to change your thinking this morning. Whenever somebody says, "What do you think about it?" tell them, "It doesn't matter what I think about it. All that matters is, thus saith the Lord." See the difference there? But today, we ask people questions, "What do you think about it?" And it really builds the pride. "Oh, well, I think this." Well, then what happens after that? Another person says, "Well, I think the opposite." Then you have an argument, you have a disagreement. But really the answer to that is, what do you think about it? You should say, "It doesn't matter what I think about anything. All that matters is, what does the Lord say about it?" And usually it's not what people generally think about it, is it? Not at all. You know, the Bible itself is, how should I say this? The Bible is more negative than it is positive. It puts things more in the negative way. What not, thou shalt not. There's more thou shalt nots than there are thou shalts. But there's both. There is both. But I guess one of the reasons I want to bring up this message this morning is that we have some people around that say, "I'm trying to stay positive. I don't want to be negative. I just want to be positive about everything." Well, friends, more of the Bible is negative than positive. And if you want to be just positive, then you're going to have to ignore and reject most of the Bible. You're really going to have to do that. I want to read this morning, and the first four thoughts in my message are on right and wrong: to tell who is wrong. Number two, to tell what is wrong. Number three is to tell why it's wrong. And number four is what to do about it. Heavenly Father, help me as I preach this morning. Just clear my mind and help me to preach clearly, scripturally, certainly, please. Convictingly. Maybe bringing light and enlightenment to someone here this morning that needs to understand some things that they really don't understand yet. I pray they might today. Help me as I preach, please. Please bless as I speak your words and preach from your gospel this morning. In Jesus' name, I do pray and ask it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." See, there's the difference. It's true about the world out there, the lost world about there. But now verse 20, it says, here's the distinction, here's the difference. "But ye have not so learned Christ." Now verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Mind's important there. "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." There's a word you don't hear much in church anymore, do you? Holiness. You don't hear that in society. You don't even hear it in churches today. Holiness. Now verse 25. "Wherefore," because of these things, "wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not." Everybody gets angry at times, but don't sin when you do get angry. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." That sounds like a good idea to me. "Neither give place to the devil." Don't let the devil have any part in your life, even the smallest part. "Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more." Then what should he do? "But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So you stop stealing, start working, so you can give. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch your, what you say. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So stop saying the wrong things, start saying the right things. Stop saying the wrong things, but don't stop with stopping. Start with what's good. See, that's part of my message this morning. Stop and start. There's certain things you stop, certain things you start. And verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Stop that. But that which is good to the use of edifying, start that. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Even God is affected by our actions and our words. Even God, the Holy Ghost himself, is affected. Isn't that something? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So stop verse 31. Start verse 32. Verse 32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Going on now on chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Therefore, this is the way the Lord acted when he was here. Now verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But, now here's what you need to stop. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once, not even once, named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now that ought to be on our tongue and our lips, giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That means they're not saved. They're not saved. And then verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Good idea. Right and wrong, right and wrong. If most of the Bible is written to correct people. Most of the Bible is written to give understanding, enlightenment. Most of the Bible was to show what is wrong. Much of the Bible is written to show what is right. So most of the Bible was written to correct people. One of the thoughts I've had over the years is, if you're preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible like in the Sunday school class, or even just preaching it, but the people aren't saved, shouldn't you get them saved first? Otherwise, you're just trying to get lost people to live like Christians. I've thought about that. Then I thought, well, here's a unique thought. What does the Bible say about that? That's a good thought, isn't it? With this dilemma I have, well, shouldn't you get them saved first because they're not going to benefit from the Bible, are they, until after they're saved? Well, what does the Bible say about that? You know, the Bible says we ought to teach our young people. And young people, as they're growing up, they're not saved yet, are they? No. But the Bible says you need to teach your young people, and they're not saved yet. No, you need to teach the Bible to everybody. And then the Lord will use, the Holy Spirit of God will use whatever scriptures or whatever part of it is, whether it's the law, whether it's the grace of God, whatever it is, maybe it's the love of God, something to reach people's heart. But everybody needs to be taught the Bible. And we need to bring the kids in. We need to teach the young people the Bible. You say, but they're not saved yet. No, they're not. But the Bible says they need to be taught the Bible. And I believe the Bible today. So that answers that for me. I don't worry about that anymore. I teach everybody the Bible. You say they're not saved yet. Why teach them the Bible? If they're not saved, maybe they'll start to live better, live a good life, but not a saved life. Isn't that a problem? It can be a problem. But the Bible says to preach the Bible and to teach the Bible to everybody. Then the Holy Spirit of God can use that and work in their hearts. All right, let's get into my main outline. Right and wrong, right and wrong. Number one, the Bible is given to show who is wrong. Who was wrong? The Gentiles were wrong before they got saved. We talk about the devil there, Satan himself, of course, he's wrong as wrong can be. So we see different ones in the Bible. It tells us who is wrong. 2 Peter talks about those the last days. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy talks about individuals. Error usually originates from somebody, from some person. And the Bible points them out. Garden of Eden, who originated the problem there? Satan. And then Eve, Adam, you know that story. But the Bible points out who is wrong. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Paul pointed out that person, didn't he? So error usually originates from somebody. Error comes from someone. Someone started it somewhere. And we need to be aware of that. And that's what Ephesians talked about. So whenever we have to find out who is wrong. Who is wrong? And there's a lot of people wrong today. The Bible says in the last days, and we're living in the last days, there's going to be many false teachers. And I've challenged our people before. I've said this before. If there's many false teachers in the last days, and we're living in those last days now, right here, this very moment, we're in those last days, then who are those many false teachers? And I've told you before, just turn on the TV. Look at those TV evangelists. There's so many, so many. So the Bible tells us who is wrong. Because most false doctrines, most false things start from somebody. Number two, it tells us what is wrong. It tells us lying is wrong and stealing wrong and adultery is wrong and all these lists of things that we brought up here in Ephesians already. It tells us what is wrong. What is wrong? Like I said earlier, we have an opinion-oriented society. And when people say, well, what do you think? Our response ought to be, well, what does God say about things? It doesn't matter what we think about things. Somebody was telling me, I think it's a person sitting on the front row here right to my left, the first person there. We were looking on the computer yesterday for well-known people in the world and how much money they make. The top one, let's say the one that's paid the most money is paid $87 million a year. Oh, TV host. Let's say TV host. Okay, $87 million. Dr. Phil. Isn't that something? $87 million a year. Does he believe the Bible? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To tell what is wrong, what is wrong? He's not giving right advice. He's giving psychological philosophies of this world. Some of the things he says might be okay, though, too. I don't think even a false philosopher is going to say everything wrong all the time. I believe there'd be some truth, but you have truth mixed with error, and then it kind of mixes together. And even the truth then becomes error, too, because it's mixed with error, and it's a mess. It's poison. Don't drink it. But tell what is wrong. The Bible says what is right. When you turn from God and His Word to find out what is right and what is wrong, when you turn from the Scriptures, from what is right and what is wrong, what can you turn to? Where can you turn? Are you going to turn to some person? Are you going to turn to some philosophy? When you turn from the Word of God, though, where are you going to turn to? And people do turn to something else. When they turn from the Bible, they reject the Bible. They don't want the Bible for whatever reasons there are. They do turn to something else. You don't stop believing the Bible. You don't stop believing what's true without starting to believe something that is not true. Because anything opposite of the truth, anything opposite of the Bible is untruth and not true. So if you turn from the Bible, you turn to someone else, you turn to some other philosophy, because no one can live in this spiritual vacuum. Everybody has to have something to believe. Philosophies, ideas. What do you think? No. Thus saith the Lord. What does God say about those things? So right or wrong, the Bible tells who is wrong. The Bible tells what is wrong. And the Bible tells why it's wrong. Why it's wrong. Because there's bad consequences. Let me show you this verse in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. kind of a cute verse here. Proverbs 30, when you get there, you might even start to smile when you read it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. And here's the, I think part is cute. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. I'd like to give you an example of that this morning. Do I have any volunteers that will come to the front here and help me illustrate this point I want to bring up? The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, and then so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Consequences. Our nation has so much crime in it right now and getting worse all the time, they say. Have to build more prisons, bigger prisons, because it's a sinful nation. Oh, I just wish we could get the Bible back in the public schools. What do you think the chances of that ever happening are? Slim and none, huh? Slim and none. I wish we could get the Bible back in those public schools. What a difference that would make. I wish we could get back up our education system back to the time before John Dewey, 50 years ago, 70, 60, 70 years ago. What a difference it was then, wasn't it? It was better. He said they had some problems then too. Yes, they did have some problems. There's nothing perfect this side of eternity. Nothing perfect here except God and His Word. That's the only perfection in this side of eternity. But I wish we could back it up to where it was back then. What a difference there would be. Until we get the Bible back in the schools, nothing good is going to happen. We need to have our teachers there, good teachers there, yes. We need salt in those schools. We need light in those schools. I'm not saying that. You understand my stand on that. But until we get the Bible back, until we get people that can have faith and the right kind of faith and believe the Bible and obey the Bible and practice the Bible, we're not going to have good schools. They can throw millions of dollars at all they want. It's just wasted money. Until they get the word back and the truth back. Why? Because sin has consequences, and they're harmful consequences. By the way, let me put a positive light on this too. There's also consequences to good. There's good consequences to good behavior. There's good consequences to truth. There's bad consequences to what's wrong. There's good consequences to what's right. What's happening to our nation today? Is it good or is it bad? Well, we need that. To tell why it's wrong because of the consequences. So, right and wrong. The Bible to tell who was wrong. So when we name names, don't get upset with us. We're trying to help. And a lot of times you can teach right by contrasting it with what's wrong. It makes it very clear sometimes. Number four, what to do about it. What should we do? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. So put off the old man. Even when you're born again, you still have the old nature. Put it off. Fight the fight here, the spiritual fight. Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt. The old man can do nothing. That's why God has to give us a brand new nature when we get saved. God doesn't improve us. God doesn't make us better. He gives us a brand new nature to work with. There's a big difference there. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now here's what we should do. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind. It all happens here. Your thinking, your thought process, your mind. Start thinking the right thoughts. Force the right thoughts into your mind. Read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Change your whole mind there. Was it 2 Corinthians chapter 10? And bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The mind. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So in verse 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 22 says that you put off. So you put off verse 22. Verse 23, be renewed. And verse 24, that you put on. You put off, you put on. Stop doing this, start doing that. Stop sleeping in on Sunday morning. Start going to church on Sunday morning. Stop making excuses for not coming out to Bible study on Wednesday night. And start coming out to Bible study on Wednesday night. We have a good Wednesday night Bible study, don't we? Good number out. Really is great, encouraging to come out Wednesday. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Tell who is wrong. Tell what is wrong. Tell why it's wrong. Tell what to do about it. Get rid of those things. Stop doing what's wrong. Start doing what's right. Right actions will change wrong actions. Right actions will get rid of wrong actions. Right actions will substitute for wrong actions. Right actions has consequences too, and they're always good. What good consequence has anybody ever had who has sinned? Sin has no good consequences. The wages of sin is death. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you remember this verse? Do you know this verse in Proverbs? All they that hate me love death. Memorize that verse. That's a game changer. That's a good one there. That's a powerful verse there. Right and wrong. To tell who is wrong. To tell what is wrong. To tell why it's wrong. To tell what to do about it. Tell who is hurt and offended by this. Look at verse number 30. Notice who is hurt and offended by this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, God the third person of the Trinity, is grieved. It's a lament like the Lord Jesus Christ had as he looked over Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, I would gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, but ye would not. Wrong actions affect and hurt people. Wrong actions affect family. People say, I love my family. Well, do you love them enough to change, to do what's right? Enough to change yourself? Wrong actions hurt people. They hurt yourself even. Wrong actions hurt Christ's cause in the gospel. Many people here are saved, many aren't this morning, but don't look at Christians sometimes. Look to Christ Himself. And then the last thought this morning, right and wrong, to encourage right behavior. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But it all begins there with reasoning. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Can good things come out of bad at times if people see it the right way? So many things here. So right and wrong, to tell who is wrong, to tell what is wrong, to tell why it's wrong, to tell what to do about it, then also to notice who is hurt and offended because of it, and also to encourage the right behavior. Do what's right, Christian. As it says in Ephesians chapter 4 there, put on the new man and put off the old man. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And Lord, it does make things so clear. I pray you'll bless now as we have a time of invitation. I pray every Christian here in this room this morning will consider these matters and search their hearts as we all need to grow. Lord, every one of us still needs to grow as a Christian, grow more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all in the area of growth. No one's arriving at spiritual perfection. But Lord, help us to grow. And just be with those also this morning that have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may they look to you and see your perfections, and to see your love, and believe it today, and turn from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for their salvation also. So bless the invitation time, Father, please. In Jesus' name, the Lord's name, we pray and ask it now. Amen.